Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Raia Drogasil conference call to discuss its 2014 results. The audio for this conference is being broadcast simultaneously through the internet in the website www.raiadrogasil.com.br/ir. In that address, you can also find the slideshow presentation available for download. We inform that all participants will be only able to listen to the conference during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are over, there will be a Q&A period. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this conference, please press star zero for an operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Raia Drogasil management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand the general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Raia Drogasil and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Today with us are Mr. Marcílio Pousada, CEO, Mr. Eugênio de Zagottis, Investor Relations and Corporate Planning Vice President, and Gabriel Rosenberg, IR and Corporate Planning Director. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Marcílio Pousada. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Raia Drogasil results presentation for the fourth quarter of 2014. As always, Eugênio will present the highlights of the results, and just before the Q&A, I'd like to stress a few points about the year. Eugênio, please.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our conference call. After two very challenging years, we're very happy about 2014. This was an exceptional year for the company, and we are very happy about what we achieved. More than that, I think we are optimistic about the future considering all the seeds we planted in the year. This was the first year that we operated as a fully combined company, fulfilling the vision that really guided the creation of Raia Drogasil pretty much 3 years ago. That was a vision of really sharing assets and competencies that we believe are unique in our industry across two of our brands, Raia and Drogasil, that are really iconic brands in the Brazilian retail environment. The result of that was very positive for us. We achieved a leap in execution, we achieved a leap in customer service, and we also achieved a leap in value creation to our shareholders. Now to the numbers. We ended the year with 1,091 stores. We opened 131 stores in the year and closed another 11. We achieved 7.7 billion in gross revenues. We grew 18.5% versus 2013, 11.4% for our same-store sales. Our adjusted EBITDA reached 506 million reais. This is a margin of 6.6%, record for the company, and the EBITDA increased 42% versus the previous year. We had a net income of 270.4 million reais adjusted, 3.5% of margin. Another highlight is that we had both positive free cash flows and total cash flows in the year for the second consecutive year. We're growing by reinvesting our own resources that we generate in our operations. The result of that is also that the return on invested capital achieved 15%, a level that we think is robust, even though we're still in a very high growth phase with a lot of our stores yet to mature. It's important on page four to look at 2014 also in perspective, considering the history of the company and the organic growth strategy that we have pursued. If you look at 2002, I would say our growth journey really started probably about that, 2002. We back then had Raia plus Drogasil combined 10% of the nominal revenues we posted last year. We don't have to go to really remote times. I mean, even if you get back to 2007, the year in which Drogasil became a public company, back then, I mean, we had 1.8 billion in revenues combined, Raia plus Drogasil, and 409 stores. So we increased the number of stores pretty much by three times, and we increased revenue by more than four times in the seven-year period. I think it's not an exaggeration to say that two-thirds of the company we have today were created in the last seven years under your very eyes as a public company. If you look at the combined EBITDA in 2007, we had 70 million reais, and now we reach 5.5 billion in EBITDA. So it's really, I think this attests a very strong capacity of this company to create value by growing at a robust pace, adding new stores with a very returns-driven mentality, and achieving productivity increases step by step. 155, I'd like to highlight the organic growth that we had last year specifically. We increased 131 stores. 51 of those were opened in the fourth quarter. This is something that we don't consider ideal. We want to get a more paced opening through the year, although this is a significant challenge considering the level of bureaucracy involved in licensing a store. We also closed 11 stores and reopened four previously suspended stores that we had temporarily closed for rebranding. Right now, 32.5% of our stores are still undergoing maturation. On page six, I think the highlight here is that we entered last year five new states in the Northeast. So we entered in Bahia pretty much three years ago. We have now 21 stores in Bahia. Also, some stores opened last year. But in a single year, we reached five additional markets: Sergipe, Alagoas, Pernambuco, the main market here, Paraíba, and Rio Grande do Norte. We are now in 17 states that account for 89% of the Brazilian pharmaceutical market. So as we go forward, entering new markets will be less and less a part of our lives and less relevant to our growth. And I'll say increasing share in existing markets now is the name of the game. Doesn't mean that we cannot enter any further markets. For sure, without a distribution center in the Northeast that we only have by the beginning of next year, we cannot even dream about new markets. Our logistics in the Northeast is already a major challenge. And after we have a distribution center in the beginning of 2016, maybe we can reach other markets. But that's not as relevant as it was before. As I mentioned, growing share is the name of the game. And growing share we did last year. We increased national share to 9.9%, 50 basis points increase. And we increased our market share in every market in which we operate. So São Paulo was a big highlight. We increased 100 basis points, actually 1.1 percentage points in São Paulo, following a year in which we had lost some market share in the market. This is our biggest market. This is the main market in the country. So growing 1.1% of share in a single year, I think it's nothing short of great. And we also grew in other markets: Southeast, Midwest, another very expressive growth, South, and the Northeast, where we have already 1.5% of market share. We increased revenues last year by 18.5%. In the fourth quarter, our revenue growth reached 20.4%. So this was a stellar quarter, I think, in every regard. Our mature store revenue growth for the year was 6.5%, a very good level, probably in the higher end of what we strive to do. We generally think our mature stores will grow 5.5%-6.5%. And 8.2% in the fourth quarter was a great number. Of course, that 10 basis points in favorable calendar also helps here. But I think this is not a number that we should see very often, but we are happy when we see it. On page eight, I think one of the highlights of the quarter, once again, was gross margin gains. Our gross margins in the year increased by 80 basis points, and in the fourth quarter, they increased by 90 basis points. We have to highlight here the fact that 2013 numbers were punished by the new tax regime. We have opted out of this new tax regime in the end of 2013, so we operated 2014 on a fully normalized level. I think we only lost maybe 20 bps in the first quarter, but it was not much for the year. So out of the 0.9 gross margin improvement in the quarter and 0.8 in the year, something like 0.4 comes from opting out of an unfavorable tax regime. Another highlight for the quarter was a 4.4-day improvement in cash cycle. Inventories remained flat over the whole year, and so did receivables. But we were able to increase accounts payable days in the fourth quarter. So this has a profound impact on cash generation. We achieved, talking page 9, a total expense dilution in the year of 40 basis points and of 50 basis points in the fourth quarter. Specifically in the fourth quarter, we had the provisioning of corporate bonus payments that was 30 basis points below the average of the year. What happened here is that we over-provisioned in the beginning of the year, so in the second semester we had lower, artificially lower, I would say, bonus provisions. So the total expense dilution was 50 bps, but really I think 20 bps is economical, 30 bps is an overweight in the first semester and an underweight of expense in the second semester. When you look at corporate expenses, we achieved a 20 bps dilution in the year and a 40 bps dilution in the quarter. If you net out the bonus situation, it would have been 10 basis points. And sales expenses, we diluted 20 basis points in the year and 10 basis points in the quarter. It's important to mention that when you look at the year, the fact that we had stores understaffed for some quarters helped the year number. But in the fourth quarter, our staff levels were absolutely normal. So the 10 basis points were really an improvement, and they were driven by a very strong revenue growth level that favored expense dilution overall in the quarter. With that, we achieved an EBITDA on page 10 of 6.6%, 1.1% percentage point margin expansion over the previous year. So this is a record level for the company and one that makes us very happy about. In the fourth quarter, we reached 7.1% of EBITDA, so plus 1.5 versus the fourth quarter 2013. Something that I want to highlight here is that the 131 stores we opened during the year, plus stores that we haven't yet opened but that are already booking pre-operational expenses, they dropped our annual EBITDA by 26.1 million reais. So if we had opened zero stores, because we only saw bad news from those stores open because they were highly concentrated in the air towards the end of the year, so in average, break-even was not achieved during the year. But with zero expansion in the year, we would have had an EBITDA of 532 million. I say that to underscore the limitation of multiple-driven valuation. I mean, when you do a multiple analysis over 506, we're really assuming that those new stores will be negative forever and that we won't see any maturation from existing stores, and that's absolutely far from the reality. So when you think about the potential improvement in margins on the longer term from maturation, I mean, the first impact is exactly from the stores opening the year, and it's a meaningful one. That 1.1 percentage point EBITDA improvement drove an adjusted net income improvement of 80 basis points. We had an increase in our effective tax rate by 30 basis points because of the profitability increase achieved. In the fourth quarter, we had a 70 basis point net income improvement, but this was heavily penalized by a tax increase of 60 basis points. What happened in the fourth quarter is that we booked some non-deductible expenses that ended up inflating for this quarter only our tax rate. Of course, the tax rate will be higher because the numbers are higher, but not this higher. And another highlight here is that our non-recurring expenses, they were below 10 million reais, while last year they were around 50 million reais. So when you look reported numbers without any adjustments, which we don't like to do because we believe the adjustments are fair and necessary to understand the economics of the business. I mean, our profitability completely escalated. Cash flows on page 12. As I mentioned, I mean, we had a free cash flow generation and a total cash flow generation that were both positive for the second consecutive year. We generated an operating cash flow after work capital of 326 million versus 287 in the previous year. We invested 271 million reais, considering new stores, renovations, infrastructure, logistics, and so on. This was a bigger investment level than the previous year, in which we had invested 237 million reais. So we generated a free cash flow of 55 million this year versus 51 million last year. The improvement here is slight, despite the fact that the operational results were much better. What happens here is that under the older tax regime, we recover taxes. So when you look at the other assets and liabilities line, we had an 85 million reais positive effect versus 5 million negative this year. That was a one-time that helped last year's cash flow. This year, without that, we had a similar level of free cash flow, slightly bigger. And even though we paid 41.5 million in interest on capital, though we paid 10.6 million to the government of deductions on the interest on capital, we bought back 21 million reais in shares, we still generated a 3 million reais positive total cash flow. So we are investing with our own resources, and this has a profound impact on the ROI in the next page, which reached 15% in the year. I think it's a very good level for a high growth company. And obviously, as we keep growing, as our margins keep going out and our operations mature, our ROICs, I think they will escalate in the future. If you compare the company before the merger, if you take the sum of Raia and Drogasil on a standalone basis in 2011, let's remember that the merger was concluded in end of November of 2011. We achieved so far a 41% increase in store count. This is despite of store closings, and in the initial 2 years after the merger, we closed a significant number of stores that we deemed as redundant. So net store increased 41%. We entered in these 3 years 8 new states that account for 11% of the Brazilian pharmaceutical market. Our gross revenues reached 62%, an average of 17.2% per year, and our EBITDA grew 86% in the period. This is an EBITDA margin growth of 90 basis points in 3 years. I mean, if you think about 30 basis points per year, it's a good improvement, but it's not a huge number. But the beauty is that even a moderate margin expansion like that we saw in the past, in average, of course it was concentrated in the year, but if you look at an average, it was moderate ever since the merger. And I think it can continue at a similar level. I don't know if it's 30, 20, or 10 base points in the future, but we believe we will deliver moderate margin growth when you combine 17% top line growth with 30 bps of margin improvement per year. And I'm not implying this is exactly the number we'll see going forward, but these results in EBITDA increase of 86%, so nearly doubling in 3 years, and that's a big number. On page 16, talking about shareholder returns, I mean, if you look since the IPO, those investors that invested 7 years ago in the Drogasil share and that kept those shares ever since, they achieved an average total return of 24.9% per year, for 23% per year, and we're talking 6.5 years. And those who invested in the high IPO 4 years ago and maintained their shares to this very date, they achieved a total return of 25% per year for 4 years. So we're talking private equity kind of returns for a large public company. In 2014 alone, the total return to shareholders was 72.4%. 71.5 came from the share appreciation, and the difference came from distributions. Talking about distributions, I mean, we booked last year a total of 74.6 million of interest on capital. So this number provides fiscal deductibility in the same year. We paid net 41.5 million reais last year in interest on capital. In addition to that, we also paid to the government 10.6 million in interest on capital deduction, the taxes relative for that number. Now, from 2014 onwards, we are changing our distribution policy. Because we feel the company is on a different level in terms of profitability, in terms of cash generation, we feel comfortable to take a next step to enhance shareholder returns. So the new policy will be the higher of 30% of net income, that has been our longer term policy, and the maximum legally allowed limit for interest on capital, one that maximizes our deductions, maximizes total shareholder returns. As an example, had we applied the same policy in 2014, we would have booked around 40 million in additional interest on capital. Increased distribution really starts now, as we are proposing to the General Assembly a supplementary interest on capital relative to 2014 of 29 million. I mean, this extra distribution is actually booked in 2014, 2015, and uses the total limit of the deductibility for 2015. But what we're doing here is we are using existing profit reserves from 2014 to do that. So 29 million should be booked, is being booked now, and should be paid in May together with the 2014, the second tranche of 2014 interest on capital. So I think this is an important step forward in terms of enhancing shareholder returns. I'll now pass to Marcilio to highlight what we had promised for this year versus what we accomplished and our strategy going forward.
Okay. Hello. Before the slide 16, I like to talk about the results. And we are very proud about the results, but the name of this result is execution. We did everything very, very good in 2014, and we have to do the same in 2015, okay? And when looking for what we promised and what accomplished, what we delivered for this year, what we did, we promised a sustained growth with financial discipline. We opened 131 stores. It's not easy to open stores. The regulation environment in Brazil is terrible. Find good locations, very difficult also, open stores. Only for open stores is easy, but open good stores and good corners is very, very difficult to do. And training and equipment for the team, this is very, very difficult to do, and we do very well this year. This helped us to grow the revenues 18.5, and revenue growth 18.5 is easy, but revenue growth 18.5 together with better EBITDA margin is very, very important for us also. The number that we like a lot is mature store growth 6.5. It's very difficult to do this environment, not only about the competition environment, but also about the cannibalization. It's natural for this kind of business that we have a little bit of cannibalization in the markets, and to grow the same rate as inflation is very, very good for business, okay? And also, we achieved the positive gains that we promised for everybody. We closed the integration, helped us a lot. The anniversary for integration is exactly February 28th. We had 1 year with all the companies together here, and now this helped us in the logistics structure, the logistics, all the office, but it helped us to the environment for the business. It's more easy to manage this business right now than the past. This helped us to improve the operating metrics. We have our record, the Net Promoter Score. We have the Net Promoter Score, it's called Atendômetro em Raia. and you had Sachi in Drogasil, both numbers, the best number ever. We are the best number in stock out, and you start to reduce the employee turnover in the last quarter of 2014. All these operational metrics help us to improve the financial metrics. We start reducing expenses because we are operating better our business. Our cash cycle is better because we operation better business. I call this a virtual cycle. If you go better in your operation, you go better in the numbers also, okay? We did also the Omni channel. We launched the Brazil.com site. It's very, very good. We implemented a new e-commerce ERP. And we could also establish a new national channel for telesales. This is very good for us because it helps us to put the company ready for the future. We know in the future the customers maybe want to buy the internet and pick the items in the stores. We are planning to be ready for this in 2016. The other good point that we did in 2014 is we closed the incentive alliance, okay? We have today 24 directors of the company between directors and vice presidents that are shareholders in the company. This is very, very good to align with the director with the shareholder long-term view. The next page, I show you a challenge for 2014 and 15 and the next steps, okay? We did also, we closed a new strategic planning in 2014. The new strategic planning has four different pillars. The number of pillars is to grow organically. We are opening 130 stores this year, a plan in 2015, and we are planning to open 130 stores or a little bit more in the next 4 or 5 years. We really believe that's the best way to consolidate this market. It's cheaper, and we know how to do this very well. Develop a new format. So we know that the Kaya brand and Brazil brand is very, very strong in A and B class. We know that we have to reach the C class in Brazil, the new class media in Brazil, the medium class in Brazil. This is very important for business and for the market. We are planning to develop this market better for the next 2 years, not only the pharmacy brand, but maybe try to achieve the higher brand and Brazil brand a new market for them also. And we know that choose the items for the customers is a very important task for us. And then category management is important for our business to help us not only shop experience, but to help us also in gross margin and pricing. And the understand the customer behavior is very, very important for us also because 78% of the customers, we know the customers are well. We can identify these customers. Then using this data for us is very, very important. Then we close the partnership with Denham, and Denham will help us to enhance the category management and the CRM programs for the next year. We are looking also to improve working our HR people process. We are working very, very strong to working better process in the HR team. We have right now 23,000 employees, and these employees have 3,300 pharmaceuticals. This is very, very important for the business. We know that we have to work with these guys, try to not only exceed our customer experience, but also to develop the new leadership for the company in the future. We know this is very important and important for all these employees. The opportunity to go together and work together to Hydro Brazil, the career of these guys, and they for these guys also the sense of purpose of our business. All these 2 points together with increased shareholder returns, like the financial discipline that we have right now in the company, and the financial flexibility, like the strong balance sheet, we love this. We know how important it is in this kind of environment in Brazil right now. We look for the cash every day, and we know this is important. We put all this together, we are working to stay and increase the shareholder funds in long-term view. And finally, I go to get again for the execution. We work with this agenda with long focus, 100% focus on long-term view, but we focus also in execution and continue to grow without losing focus on meeting our customers' needs. We really believe this will continue to bring the competitive advantage for the company that will translate to improved margins year after year. Let's go to presentation again, and after that we'll go to the questions and answers.
Okay, thanks. I'd like to highlight some of the activities in our Investor Relations Canada. One of our main priorities as we improved our operating processes, as we integrated our accounting area and back office, was to reduce the window of reporting. So starting 2015, on every quarter from first and second and third quarter, we will report our intermediate results during the following month. So we will report the first quarter in April 29, we will report the second quarter on July 30th, and we will report the third quarter on October 29. For the annual results, of course, we need slightly more time. We will report on February 18. So it's basically in the same kind of timeline limit for an intermediate result. That's the kind of window we use even for our final reporting. Another date that we have set, and it's a date that I'd like you guys to take notice and think about it, is the Hydrogazil Day. We'll do it on December 4th, in the following day of one of the largest Brazil equity conferences here. The time and venue to be determined still to be decided, but most likely it will be in the same venue of the conference. So whoever comes to the conference can stay the next morning probably for our investor day. And finally, the next conferences that we are scheduled for are on March 3rd and 4th in Brazil, the Merrill Lynch Conference. March 17th also in Brazil, Deutsche Bank Retail Day. April 2nd in Brazil, the UBS Consumer Roundtable in Sao Paulo. And then abroad, we will see May 11 and 12 in London, the Santander Conference, and May 13 and 14 in New York in the Itaú CEO Conference. And that's all we had prepared, so let's go for your questions. Thank you very much.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press the pound key. Mr. Joseph Giordano from JP Morgan would like to make a question.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. First of all, congratulations on the strong results that you reported once again. So my question here is on the expansion plan. So you have this goal of opening 130 new stores throughout 2015. But when we look back, and you reported that on your Investors Day last December, it seemed that you had nearly 50% of the contracts for the new stores already in-house. So I would appreciate if you could share how the new contracts are evolving and what's the status at this moment. I believe you should be above the threshold at this point.
Joseph, thanks for the question. And you're right, back then we had 50% of the contracts already signed. Right now we had around 90 contracts already set, and we are ahead of our targets. So the only thing is that we are still in February. If we were at this exactly stage a couple months ahead, maybe we could call for more. Right now we're still keeping with the 130 guidance, but we recognize there is some upside risk. I think contracts will not be the problem for opening more stores. The challenge will be the timing for opening, engineering, preparation, and all that, and mainly people. If we feel we're comfortable on those dimensions, and we indeed have more contracts than expected in our hands, there is no reason why not to open more stores.
And I think the number one challenge is people, for sure, but the number two challenge is the regulations. Very difficult in Brazil right now to make the regulations to open the store.
Yeah, the time between signing a contract and opening a store has increased with time as the process has become more and more bureaucratic. So having 90 contracts now is great, but it may or not be enough to go beyond 130.
Right. So I understand that the focus remains on organic growth. But last year you made like the acquisition of some points of sales from Santa Marta, right? So I'm not sure how are like the smaller mom and pop chains performing at the current environment. So do you see any opportunity in the near future to do a similar acquisition, like as some players may go under?
Well, we believe that the economic environment will pose a lot of challenges for whoever is leveraged. Let's remember, I come from Raia. I know how it is to operate with leverage in a tough environment, although I recognize that without that, we'll not be here today as part of this combined company. But the reality is that in an environment in which the cost of debt is going up, the debt availability is tightening for retailers who are leveraged, life becomes a nightmare. It's a big challenge to extend lines. Sometimes they have to artificially increase numbers by boosting gross margins in a way that's not supported by the market. We have a lot of wholesalers who are also leveraged, and they'll have to pass the extra cost and the smaller availability of lines to their customers. So I think we can see probably positive reflexes on the players like us who are self-financing and who have the cash flow to go forward, to invest and do whatever is needed. Having said that, I think the likelihood of doing any M&As by any chains, I think is very small. It's never zero. Whatever is presented, we analyze, but I think it's small. Realistically, when you look, there are very few chains that we like the assets, and when you don't feel comfortable with the stores, sometimes it means that even though there may be cash generation, but you can question if that's sustainable or not for the longer term. The cost of growing organically is much lower, so it's a much higher return proposition growing organically versus buying someone. Growing organically has additional advantages. The investment is completely povertized and diversified. So it's 130 individual decisions. We'll screw up a couple of those, but overall, they will net out and be very good. When you buy a large chunk of business, it's almost like putting all your chips in. And if you do it right, congratulations. But if you don't, you have a big problems in your hand. And integration, it's always a distraction that can derail the execution at 1,100 stores that we operate. So deals like we did in Goiânia, I mean, if they exist, that are only buying stores, we can analyze. And then it's a matter of quality and numbers. But doing real acquisitions of the drugstore chains, that won't happen.
If I may, another question here. When we look at the generic penetration in your sales, it's kind of stable on a year-on-year basis. Do you expect like any improvement? Because like we understand that there is an important gross margin driver as well, not just HPC. So if you could share, it would be great. Some extra color here.
Joseph, sorry, the question online is not that great. Can you repeat the question?
So when we look at the penetration of generics in your sales, it's kind of stable, even though we would expect it to increase slightly. And also drive a little bit higher gross margin. So if you could comment on the trend for generic penetration in sales, it would be great.
Sure, thanks. Well, generics has been largely stable. The pipeline for new generic launches is far from amazing. We are seeing almost a dry pipeline. So Brazil is ahead of the global curve in terms of patent expiration. So there are products in Brazil like Crestor, for example, that have already expired, even though in the U.S. and Europe they're still patented. But as a result, I don't think we have any help from the marketplace to grow generics. Having said that, as we execute better, it may be the case that we can slightly expand year after year. I don't expect any major shifts, but maybe we can expand generic penetration a couple basis points per year. But the marketplace, in a certain way, we are swimming against the stream here.
And when I talk about the category management, maybe this helps us to increase the generic penetration in the future, but not right now, okay? You can see this in 2016 or 2017.
All right. Thank you, Eugenio.
Thank you.
Mr. Luciano Campos from HSBC would like to make a question.
Hi, good afternoon, Eugenio and Marcilio. My first question is about the average basket of the shoppers. That is something that I have been following for some time, and I'm impressed how strong it has been actually evolved double digits in this quarter. Can you elaborate a little bit more on the dynamics behind this average basket? What's going on there? If it's if you can also like separate a little bit the effect of pricing involved on this. That is my first question. Thank you.
Thank you, Luciano. I have to admit that this is a number that I report, but I don't like to report because I think this can be a misleading number. Because what happened is that over time, we're increasing density in the market. And our stores, they service consumers sometimes around a kilometer, 1.5 kilometers. But what happens is that the consumers who are closer to the store, they are much more loyal consumer, much more heavy spender, because they're better serviced by the stores. So when we open a new store, or even when a competitor opens a new store, within that radius, what you see is that the consumers who are not that well serviced, but that they live nearby the new store being opened, ours or someone else's, they migrate. So sometimes you can see a store losing 10% of consumers, but only 3% of revenues, because these consumers are not as important. So the result that you see is that the number of tickets goes down, the average tickets goes up. It's an effect of increasing in saturation in the market. We have stores that we look 10 years ago, they are much better stores now, but they used to service a much bigger number of people with smaller tickets. So I don't think you can read in the number much about our merchandise efficiency or about the consumer's pocket. I think it's a side effect of increased penetration of drugstores in the marketplace.
And Luciano, maybe it's much clearer. Maybe the project that will start right now with Dunham can help us understand better this, and it can increase the share of wallet for the customer in the future. We are expected to do this house in 2016 and 17, and maybe increase more the ticket, but we don't know right now.
Thank you. I think, I mean, I understand your point, Eugenio, about the metric. It's just that, with these average numbers that we have, that's something that has been very impressive. One thing about this basket, or actually, let's forget about the basket, but talk about pricing. We have a few events that are kind of predictable in terms of higher taxes for some lines of cosmetics. We have a very important, pressure in terms of electricity costs. That is something that affects the whole industry, not only Raia Drogasil, and I would expect that somehow to be reflected in prices. Have you seen already that phenomenon to start, or is something that will be observing only starting the first quarter?
Luciano, thank you for the question. I think we're talking about the PIS/COFINS tax increase. This is an increase that has a slight impact on our business because it concerns mostly categories that are not core for us yet, like makeup, for example, like perfumes and things like that. There is a slight impact. There are a couple of categories affected. And what happens is that we will see manufacturers increasing their prices for us and for everybody. And we will obviously pass those increases for the consumers. I cannot exactly tell you how many manufacturers have or not started doing that, but it's normal that if it hasn't happened, it will happen, and it will go to the prices, and life goes on as usual.
Sorry,
IPI, not PIS/COFINS. Just to correct, I'm talking about IPI and not about PIS/COFINS, sorry.
Okay. Last question is about like the strategic planning and also a little bit with something that you mentioned in the Portuguese call in terms of being able to eventually accelerate a little bit the opening now in the along the year, like having a little bit more openings in the beginning of the year versus like a more back-ended curve that you had in 2014. I just wanted to know how it is evolve in terms of hiring people, how expensive that continues to be, if there is any sign of a softening in the labor cost, and connecting that with the strategic planning, how do you see some metrics like employees per store evolving as you apply as you search for efficiencies in your strategic plan? Thank you.
Okay, so thank you very much. In terms of people costs, of course, that over time we have seen increased labor costs, but they don't come necessarily from hiring. I mean, this is a big country. We find people that we need to staff the stores. The challenge that we have is that in a strong economy in which we had until recently full employment, people have a lot of options in life. So the turnover got very challenging for us and for every retailer in the country. So the challenge was not on hiring, the challenge was in retaining people. But the labor pressure financially doesn't come even from that. It comes from the fact that every year we negotiate with unions, just like in Brazil, 100% of labor is unionized, and every year we have seen real wage increases. Already last year, because of the beginning of the crisis, it was a lower real wage increase than normal, and we believe this year we could see that again. But I think it's very unlikely to see labor costs going up below inflation or at inflation. But I think we can have less acceleration, we can have deceleration versus what we saw in the last few years. In terms of accelerated openings, what's crucial here is that when we concentrate 50 stores to reopen in a single quarter, like we did in the fourth quarter, the energy that takes for the whole organization is very big. And there are some side effects that are difficult to measure, but we want to prevent that. Having said that, it's not easy. And every year we start on a softer basis opening stores. What we are doing is we have set internal targets for the whole company. Not only we have a target of opening 130 stores, but we have another target that is opening X stores per quarter. So let's say that if we do just like we did last year, people will have a partial achievement of the target. So in order to achieve 100% of the target, they must open every quarter the budgeted number of openings. So we are aligning incentives to try to move the process, but we recognize it's not easy to do. If you can repeat the last question you made, and now I got lost of it.
It's just that trying to connect this topic with your strategic planning. When you look at your number of employees per store, for example, as you seek for efficiencies, would that change over time? Would be kind of the same it is right now? How would you look for efficiencies in that front?
That's a very good question. I mean, during last year, for probably three quarters, because of process gaps, we had a slightly lower number of people per store than required. In the fourth quarter, we got in level with what we think is the optimum level of people per store, given our current processes. I mean, taking people from the stores is very easy. Taking them without destroying value is a huge challenge, because what happens is that our headcount per store, they reflect the kind of processes we have. So the only way of really reducing the staff per store without destroying value is to change the processes, is to make processes more efficient. If you can service people 10% faster at the checkout and 10% faster at the pharmacy counter, for example, I'm just throwing a number here, you'll probably see either a 10% lower employee cost or a 10% faster service that should translate in any way in productivity increase of the company. So as we mentioned, in 2012, 13, and 14, the whole focus of the organization was in achieving the best standard of execution in both brands. And we're almost there, but that means that we're not creating anything new. We're just getting the best practice among high-end Brazil and employing that to the whole company. Here is, we are exactly at this stage. Coming forward, our goal is really to push the envelope of our execution, to reinvent our execution. So we have a task force taking place, analyzing processes, mapping processes, understanding things we could do better in terms of CRM, process efficiency, and so on. And with time, we will see improvements in our platforms that will make the consumer life easier and that will give bigger productivity for our stores. We'll be able to service people at the checkout, at the pharmacy counter, X percent faster than now. If the improvement will go to the labor cost, or if it will grow, if it will go to the customer service, and to increase sales, we still don't know. But in one way or in the other, this should be value enhancing.
Good. Thank you, Eugenio.
Thank you.
Mrs. Irma Gard from Goldman Sachs would like to make a question.
Yes, hi. Thanks. Most of my questions were already answered. Just a very quick follow-up question or two. Any impact that you're expecting from the fiscal measures that are being announced or that have been announced in the MP that was published overnight, given that you weren't included in the payroll tax relief that was announced earlier this year and that was rediscussed earlier this year? I would imagine not, but just to confirm that this has no impact for you. And then secondly, any outlook on the expected price increase? I think the CMED is due to announce its plans for its annual price increase that will come due on the 1st of April. I think they typically come out with that in March. So I was wondering if you had any early reads or any thoughts on potential level of the price increase for regulated drugs this year. Thank you.
Irma, thank you for the question. And life is very funny because we've been miserable these 2 years because we got kicked out of the labor tax of our tax social reduction, social charge reduction. So we have been kept out of that benefit. We enjoy that benefit for only 3 months in the very beginning, and now we find that all of a sudden the government changes the rules, and what was a reduction in social charges for those contemplated is now an increase in social charges, and now we're very happy because we're not part of that. So life is very funny sometimes.
It's funny and hard, also.
Funny and hard, yes, depending when you look. So you sometimes you are pissed off for a reason that makes you very happy one day to the other. Then for the prices, we don't know yet what's coming. Because we have a higher CPA, I think it's reasonable to expect a slightly bigger price increase than we saw last year. But, we're in different times right now. It's a government that is doing a lot of things in the economy, but one of the virtues, I think, is a government that don't want to artificially mess with prices. So we have reason to think that we'll have not the full inflation, we never get it, we love it, but we don't expect it, but a higher number than what we saw last year. And if it's higher, this could be very important for the second quarter.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
As a reminder, as to ask a question, please press star 1. It appears to be no further questions. Now, I'll turn the conference back to the company for the final remarks.
Well, thank you all for the presence in the conference call. Thank you for our shareholders who have supported us during the tougher times and who are now reaping the fruits with us. I think we have a message of that of measured optimistic about the future. I mean, let's not expect that every year will be like that. It's not realistic that we will keep that we'll be able to achieve this kind of margin expansion. But we are very grateful that we could this year. Our expectation is to grow on with moderate EBITDA margin increases. I don't know if it's 10, 20, or 30 basis points, but it's not 50, it's not 100 per year. But guess what? I mean, when you compound 20, 30, 10 basis points per year with top line growth of 16, 17, 18, 19, or 20, I mean, when you look back, when you look down to the EBITDA number, it's a big value creation for the company. Let's also not forget that one third of our stores are very far from maturing. So if we have 6.6% EBITDA margin today, if we stop growing, our EBITDA margin without any productivity gains will be 8.1. And productivity gains will happen. So I don't know where our long-term margins will land, but I think it has to be north of 8.1 for sure. Having said that, as long as we increase stores at a constant percentage level, that improvement is keeping, is being stored for the future. And we're happy with that. We're in no hurry to see it. We would much prefer growing faster, even with some sacrifice of margin, than growing slower to capture that future profitability gain. We always put the long term ahead of the short term when we conduct our business. And also highlight the new moment that we are now, that we're shifting from just getting the best of both worlds, the best of our existing execution at both Raia and Drogasil, to think the company in a new way, to reinvent our processes, redefine the limits of execution in strategies that can be value creating for the future. So we are not underestimating the importance of execution, but yet we want to go beyond execution. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Raia Drogasil's conference call is finished. Have a nice day.